So what that's saying is that we as Christians are supposed to be zealous for the Lord. We He's called us to be zealous, and what the word zeal means is an eager desire or an effort or earnest enthusiasm. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, for example, Maddie, he plays his guitar all the time, you know, and so he's kind of zealous in a sense, you know, for his guitar playing. But with that desire to play, he has to make an effort to do it. He has to practice. And so with practicing, he makes an effort, and he can make songs, and, you know, and that's all what comes. It's because of that. He has to make an effort, and then comes the desire. But for Matt to sound good, like I said, he has to practice, and then the songs will come to him. And that song that we just sang, that about the zeal of God, it's consuming me. It's burning in my soul like a driving force that can't be stopped and a fire that can't be quenched. And that's what we as Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to be consumed by the call of God. And we're supposed to be just something that's unable to be stopped. Just something that consumes everything in our path. And especially in countries and stuff such as the Middle East, where it's illegal to be a Christian, the population of the Christian church is just growing by leaps and bounds because of that persecution. And it's growing more there than it has anywhere else in the world. It's growing where it's persecuted the most because it can't be stopped, like that song says. It's just a driving force that can't be stopped and a fire that can't be quenched. It's like, you know, we always have the fires in California every summer, or it seems like, anyway. But it takes them forever. It takes them weeks and months, and sometimes it's even taken literally almost a year to put those fires under control and just take them. And from what may just be a cigarette out the window, just landing on a dry, dead leaf, it can just become a raging inferno that just engulfs a whole area. So that's what we as Christians should really be. Thank you. We owe it to God to be zealous for him also in the things that he has to do for us because, you know, okay, I have a little analogy here. Say, Beth, you're the boss or the head of a major corporation. And come here, go ahead. Yeah, let's hear it for Beth. Yeah, come on.
I'm smarter than you, Shay.
All right, Beth. Yes, here we have the leader of Enron. I was going to use that. So okay, Beth, you're the head of a major organization, and you need to hire somebody, just one person, and you get two applications. Okay, you get two resumes, and you take out your first resume. Ta-da. Okay, you look at it. What's the name on that resume? Scallywag Bob, that's exactly right. That's right, Maddie, that was for you. Okay. And what does it say was the reason that he was leaving his previous job?
Fired, could not get along with employer or supervisor.
That's exactly right. Scallywag Bob cannot get along with his employer or supervisor. So let's... Well, I'm just kidding. Just shush. Don't criticize. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. So Beth here looks down at the reference, gives her his previous employer a little jingle. Hello, I'm calling about Scallywag Bob. It says here that he was fired from his previous job because he couldn't get along with you. And so that employer says, oh yeah, that kid was just a brat. He would always come in late. He would never get the job done. He was just really scallywaggish, you know. And so they're like, all right. So that more or less gets thrown out the window. And we go on to resume number two, which happens to be, what's the name on that?
Helper Joe.
Helper Joe, that's exactly right. Okay, Helper Joe, the reason for leaving his previous job was because he moved out of state. So, all right, you can go sit down. But anyway, she calls up his previous employer also, and he says, yeah, I'm calling about Helper Joe. Actually, she says that. I'm calling concerning Helper Joe. I just got an application. And what was he like? Oh, that Helper Joe. Yeah, he lived up to his name, you know. He was doing whatever needed to be done. And, you know, he was always going above and beyond his expectations just to get the job done. And you know, that's what we as Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to be going above and beyond our normal, our just what they want us to do is far, far smaller than what God wants us to do. And you should just strive to live, you know, that higher life. Just strive to do whatever it takes to tell people about God. Just, you know, be weird, whatever. Just have zeal for God, whatever. And so I'm just asking you, who would you hire? Who would you want to hire? Would you want to hire the kid that hardly did anything? Or would you want to do the one, or would you want to hire the one that always did above and beyond what he had to do? You'd want to hire the second one, resume two, number, helper Joe. Because you want somebody that's going to be a hard worker. And that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to be a hard worker. He wants us to get the job done. He wants us to do what he asks when he asks, or he wants us to get it done before he even asks. Isn't that nice? Say your parents ask you to clean the house, and you say, "Well, Mom, I just got done cleaning it." And she gives you a big hug and says, "Ryan, you're so sweet." And, you know, they always like it if you do it without having to be asked. Isn't that true, Ryan? You wouldn't know. But, no, I'm just joking, man. Exactly. So, you know, just do it even when you're not asked. Just do what God wants you to do without having to be asked. Because, you know, we're told in the Bible countless times to be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth, more or less. And, you know, we've done that. We've gone on a mission trip. You should be telling people about God and Jesus constantly. But, you know, it's more or less an unwritten law. You should just be doing it constantly. Isn't that true? And so, I'm sorry, I'm a little dry-throated here. And you know, we want to live up. We as Christians, you know, why are we Christians? Who is the greatest Christian example? Jesus. That's exactly right. And he was more or less one of the most zealous people that ever lived. And in trying to get his point across, he eventually died for what he believed in, because he was so zealous in his message. He was more or less full of it, not full of it, but full of his message, you know, that it drove him to the cross. And because he was so just moved by that message, moved by telling people about God, about himself, about what he can do for them, that he eventually died for them. And so, what are you being zealous for? What are the things that you strive to be zealous for? What are you more or less living for? Is it something that's worthy of that calling, you know? Is it something that's worthy of having your wholehearted attention? Is it something that in the end is really going to matter? I just want you to think about that for a second. And does it match up with God's ideas? Do your ideas for what you want to live for, what you want to do in life, do they match up with God's? And so we should just check yourself to make sure that you're just living that life pleasing to God. And especially those of you that are still in school and stuff, that's really the biggest mission field that you could ever be put in. And I've heard it said, I've talked to people, and they've said countless times how much they wish they would have witnessed more to those kids. They wish they would have been more of an example to those kids in that school because they regret not doing that. And some of them, and because you'll never have that opportunity again that you do now, especially those of you in school, because you're surrounded by those kids 5 days out of the week. Like, how long are you guys in school? Like 8 hours, isn't it? Somewhere like that. 8 hours. Too long, I agree. But the point is, you're surrounded by them more or less 24/7, all the time, for like 12 years of your life. And that's 13, yes, if you count. I've never heard that, but amen. And so, I don't know. But like I'm saying, that's really the biggest missions field you could ever be put in is those public schools right there. Because most of those kids don't know Christ. Most of them want to know about Christ. And the ones that say they don't want to know about it more. And so, I want you guys to really just check yourself. Make sure you're just being zealous enough for those kids, because, you know, you may be the last person on the face of the earth that'll ever tell them about Christ before they go home and kill themselves. You may be the last person to ever say anything to them before they get in a car crash on the way home and die, you know? It's such a powerful message that we have as Christians just to share with these people. And I just want us to just make sure that you're just being zealous for them. And, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that we've been given, such as a job or such as school, like I said. But those of you, I don't have a job. It sucks, but I don't have a job. But, you know, those of us that do, we really need to be the salt and the light in the world. That's what the Bible says, that we're supposed to be, the salt and the light. And what does salt do? It seasons, but what does salt make you do? It makes you thirsty. It makes you thirsty. Salt is one of the most thirst-making things on earth. And we as Christians, check this out, we as Christians have been called to be salt and light. And in essence, salt makes you thirsty. So you, Aaron, you need to be the salt in your school. You need to make them thirst after God. You need to make them thirst after the things of Christ. And in doing that, they in turn can find God. It's like if you're walking through a desert, you know? You know, you get the picture of the guy, his clothes are all just ripped to shreds. He's like crawling on the ground screaming, "Water, water, water, water." And then he falls dead right in front of the well. But what is that saying? It's saying he's thirsty. The water in the water is what he needed to live. Without that water, we can't live. Without the water, those people can't live. And without you making them thirsty, without you guys making them thirsty, they don't know they need the water. And in a sense, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. And who wants that for anybody? I don't. I want everybody to know about God. Just like that analogy, what does light do? It makes things bright. It illuminates stuff. So just like we're supposed to be salt, just like you're supposed to make the people thirsty, you're supposed to illuminate everything. So just like that, what does a lighthouse do? What does it do for ships? It lights their path, but it shows them the danger. Thank you. Shows them the danger. That's exactly right. And I was talking with my dad, and I was trying to think of a good thing for that. But he also said it's a point of reference by which they can guide their vessel. And I thought that was really pretty interesting because, you know, we are here. We're put on earth to point out the dangers of the world. We're here to tell them about the dangers that they should stay away from. We're here to tell them to stay away from that stuff, but also we're supposed to be their point of reference. We're supposed to be the thing they look to guide them to safety. And so, you know, our purpose here on earth is to point others to Christ. And that's really what we're called to do. But I want you guys just to strive to be zealous, you know, just do whatever it takes to get that message out. I was talking with Mark earlier, and he said that in like Belgium or something, this big church, and was it a university, like a Bible college, got raided by some cops and all this stuff for some weird reason. But you know, that's, maybe they were doing something right. I don't know. Maybe they were doing something right, and it freaked people out. But you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to just make it black and white, clear as crystal, just show them how it is. And it's their choice. It's not what it is what we do that matters in the end. But it's what you do for the others that really matters. And so I just ask you guys just to bow your heads while we pray, please. Lord God, I just ask that we would just be zealous for you, Father God, that we would just strive to live that pure life, Lord God, just that. Above and beyond everything that we could ever imagine, Father God, I just ask that we would just be the salt and the light, Lord God, that we would just make those others thirst for you, Father God, the ones that have no idea that they're missing out on you, God. And I just pray that we would just be able to just guide them to you, Father God, as that lighthouse, Jesus. Let's just be that lighthouse to them, Father God, that they may just find you, Jesus, in through us. May we just Lord God, may you just empower us to just go out this week, Father God, and just be bigger, bolder witnesses for you, Father. And may you just be with us this week and just bless us, Father God, and just give us those witnessing opportunities. In your name I pray. Amen. That's all I got, my friends.
Thank you, Kyle. Very good job. Guys, like Kyle said, you know, if God didn't have intentions for us or a plan for us, he would just take us, you know, right up to heaven as soon as we accept him. But he has us here for a reason after we accept him, and that is to tell as many people as we can about the love that God has shared with us. And Kyle wonderfully articulated that to us tonight. And you know what? Your goal, your mission in life is, you know what? I'm going to heaven, and I know that, but I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. And that should just be an everyday thing that we should think about and be a goal. I know I'm going to heaven, but who can I take with me today? And how many people can I lead to Christ before I die or before Christ comes back? So, in saying that, thank you, Kyle. Hopefully you guys will be thinking about that. Let us be on fire for God. You know what? It's no fun when you're not on fire for God. It's much funner when you're on fire for God, isn't it? No one likes to just run and ride on the bandwagon. We like to, let's be a leader in what we're doing, all right? Let's set a precedence, even tonight, that we're just going to be on fire for God. We're going to show up Sunday morning. We're going to just show the adults the zeal that we have within our hearts. And, you know, that fire goes over from you guys to the older people. They see you guys on fire, they get on fire too. They see you guys not so on fire, it's catchy. It is catchy.